corporate master data is a critical asset that must be increasingly managed within and beyond the enterprise in order to create a single customer view, one version of the truth, or to get your supply chain visibility in compliance for Know Your Supplier. I'm Peter Bochner, site editor for SearchSAP.com, and I'm here today with Aaron Zorns. Aaron is founder and chief research officer for the MDM Institute, as well as conference chairman for the largest conference on MDM, CDI, and data governance. This would be the MDM Summit, held annually in New York City, San Francisco, London, Toronto, Frankfurt, Sydney, and Madrid. It's fair to say that Aaron is the most quoted industry analyst on the topics of MDM, customer data integration, and data governance. Aaron, I know you're preparing for some major upcoming MDM events, so I appreciate your making the time for this podcast today.
Well, actually, it's good to be here. MDM is a hot topic. You and I haven't spoke for a long time. The last time, I think, was when I was running the research group at Metagroup for the research analysts. But something's never changed. You know, the need for high-quality data to drive your business optimization or your business transformation, that's something that all large companies continue to need to focus on. And I've been looking, actually, to catch up with you and get caught up, perhaps, on some of our latest findings regarding SAP data within the context of MDM.
And we're looking forward to hearing about those findings, Aaron. Why don't we start with a general question about MDM? We hear the term recession-proof more and more these days. Does that apply to MDM, or are companies pulling back funds from their MDM initiatives?
Well, of course, there's some retrenchment in the marketplace, you know, especially in certain industries like financial services, in particular, as they've had to refocus overall IT investments for the next couple of years. But some business issues are perennial. They never go away, like regulatory compliance. You can't ignore that. Or mergers and acquisitions, taking advantage of the economies of scale that are promised to the shareholders when you do a merger or an acquisition. These issues don't go away. Today, some of these issues, such as compliance and leveraging merger and acquisition economies of scale, these have become even more important. And that's why we continue to see ongoing investment in master data management by the largest companies. I deal mostly with global 1,000-sized companies, those with a billion or more in annual revenues, and they definitely are continuing their investments in MDM, albeit scaled back perhaps, and perhaps focused on certain business initiatives, but they're still continuing their investments.
Aaron, I'm sure that you talk to MDM users all the time, and I guess a good number of those are SAP customers. What types of concerns are you hearing about MDM that's unique to SAP environments?
Well, as we all know, hats off to SAP. They've done a wonderful job in terms of providing an application portfolio and increasingly the infrastructure to support applications in large companies. Historically, that's been mostly manufacturing, but that's changed over the last five or so years because we now see banks, telcos, and others also stepping up to use SAP for their enterprise resource planning, et cetera. And although they've done a good job coming out of the manufacturing space, if you like, in mastering data for product and supplier master data, as they've moved into service industries like telco and retail and so on, they've been challenged to meet the requirements for customer data integration, or what the industry calls CDI, customer data integration.
So, Aaron, if I'm an SAP customer and I'm thinking about an MDM initiative, what should my first step be?
Well, actually, it doesn't matter whether you're an SAP customer or anybody. It's basically all the same basic requirements, whether you're SAP, IBM, or Oracle shop. Basically, most formal MDM initiatives require the same phase zero setup, if you like, as any large-scale IT initiative. These phase zeros are where we are securing the executive commitment and identifying our internal champions. Definitely these days, focusing on near-term ROI to justify the startup costs, finding some way to kickstart the political processes that we collectively call data governance, if they haven't already begun, and then also scoping the requirements, capturing the requirements, and then evaluating the package solutions that provide an MDM solution, and then also looking at the systems integrators and consultancies that will help install and customize this MDM infrastructure. So phase zero is the setup, just like any other IT project that has a big ticket or a big budget associated with it.
Aaron, you mentioned evaluating the MDM package solutions out there. In your latest review of the MDM marketplace, you say that IBM, Oracle, and SAP are the dominant MDM solutions, but the best-of-breed vendors are gaining market share. So if I'm looking at an MDM initiative in an SAP environment, does SAP NetWeaver give me everything I need?
That's an interesting point. Most SAP shops would like SAP to give them everything they need, but I think most of us would agree that's unrealistic, despite SAP's acquisition of Business Objects, et cetera, and some other companies or other technologies. In fact, a good number of the large companies that we work with typically will have multiple brands of MDM solutions underway. For example, they might have IBM Customer Center for customer data, and they might be using SAP at that same company for product master data. Or the enterprise might be using Amdocs for their customer and billing data, and SAP for the financial side. So for some companies, the SAP product line, including SAP's own MDM product, could do it all, more or less. You know, if you're in manufacturing and you don't have B2C customers, or you're not a service company per se, or a bank or a retailer, then SAP would be a very good fit for you because they do address suppliers and distributors as parties of interest, as they call it, their definition of customers. However, I have met a number of IT professionals whose careers basically cratered when they tried to make SAP MDM perform some unnatural acts. That is, SAP MDM can't do everything. It's been a product underway. It's very good at product master data and pretty good at supplier and distributor, but it's not done well for the B2C type customer. In fact, there are a number of other products out there which help provide a layer or integration of SAP MDM product and supplier and distributor data with the customer data mastered in other systems. For example, Dun & Bradstreet's Purisma is one product that has helped integrate those two worlds, and then Silver Creek Systems is another vendor that has a solution in that space. The integration between SAP and the rest of the world, if you like.
So, Aaron, in your report, you talk about buyers migrating from point products that address customer or product master data only to enterprise MDM, and that would support multiple domains such as customers, product, supplier, location, price. What does the evolution toward enterprise MDM mean for the SAP enterprise?
It means that SAP needs to get its act together as a company regarding their support for customer in a B2C sense. To date, the most recent version product, MDM 7.1, basically they jumped from 5.5 to 7.1 to synchronize version number, so nobody missed version 6. It just never happened. But say SAP MDM version 7.1, the experience with it so far has been sparse. And this is the product that's supposed to give us, finally, the MySAP CRM data models to support multi-level hierarchies and some other capabilities that would make it a true CDI or customer data integration enabled product for B2C type data. I'm aware of about 6 sites that have it that are in early ramp, or ramp up as they call it at SAP. On the other hand, SAP has formally actually said even that they have hundreds of sites, and that simply doesn't jive with what we see. There may be hundreds of sites using 7.1 or planning to use it, but in terms of the number of sites that actually have it and are trying to use it for customer master data, that's less than 2 handfuls at this point. So this is the product we believe that will get us act together, because SAP has been so diligent on focusing on customer master data. It's just that their engineering side and their QA people have made this a protracted release into the market. You know, they're being very conservative because they have had a couple of missteps in the past. I don't think they want to misstep this time around. So it's very slow going, getting the version of SAP MDM out that supports this notion of customer data integration.
Let's talk about those missteps again for a minute. In your report, you said that SAP understood that MDM was a primal requirement for its application package strategy long before any of the other vendors, but it was always challenged to execute and deliver B2C capabilities until this past fall with version 7.1. But why exactly was that?
Well, you know, we have to give SAP credit. They were clearly, you know, a vendor who got it or grokked it when they said that internally they needed to get their own development infrastructure in place. That is, why have different application groups in supply chain or in retail or aerospace or in banking building different notions of what customer master data is or product or supplier? You know, this is a basic SOA type service. You know, identify customer, update product master, et cetera. These sort of services are common across all their application development groups. And so SAP got it very early, whereas some vendors like Oracle were later to understand it, as was IBM and Teradata. Now, without such an MDM layer, you end up with multiple development groups headed in different directions, and that's very difficult to corral and get back on track. So SAP did get its internal act together, and then they more or less productized this internal MDM capability for use by its customers, for the customer's own master data requirements. And along the way, they acquired application to Interactive A2i, the Israeli company that did product catalogs, because that was a very specific e-commerce type capability they needed. They acquired some other middleware that did the job of attaching to multiple external to SAP data sources and doing federated queries to aggregate information out of multiple data sources. So they acquired a number of pieces. Most interestingly now, with the acquisition of Business Objects, there's some very interesting capabilities of Business Objects, and the fact that Business Objects is being run as an independent subsidiary, although sharing some common code, common marketing, common sales and admin side of the companies, but still, they're a separate product company. And Business Objects, CEO John Schwartz in particular, has been very vocal about their desire to provide MDM capability. So I think we can look forward to Business Objects, when we're talking about the SAP world, lending some of its technologies into SAP MDM, but at the same time, Business Objects creating its own standalone platform for MDM that is not dependent upon any other SAP MDM software or R3 or any other infrastructure from SAP. That is, the Business Objects will be coming out with, we would expect, their own MDM platform that, oh, by the way, supports SAP very well, but also performs well in other application environments.
Okay, so now that SAP customers are starting to integrate Business Objects, data quality, as well as extract, transformation, and load, how will that affect their MDM initiatives?
Well, there will be, some, of course, better integration and, you know, a single throat to choke if when something goes wrong, a single finger point at it, et cetera. I would expect that some of the capabilities that SAP also had, such as Fuzzy Logic, which was a German vendor that provided pattern matching for customer or product identity resolution, that the Fuzzy Logic capabilities over in SAP would end up over in the First Logic data cleansing capabilities of Business Objects. And so there'll be a number of things that go back and forth between the companies, but still, of course, there'll be better integration and ease of support when you have those two companies, Business Objects and SAP, working together as a single entity. But we're still going to see, I think, a neutral to SAP-type MDM platform coming out of Business Objects. And that's something that will be interesting to watch because it costs a lot of money to develop software of that caliber or of that type, and it doesn't make sense necessarily for SAP and Business Objects to continue building their own independent MDM platforms. It might make sense to transfer the MDM development efforts out of SAP and make that part of Business Objects, if you know what I mean, because it's just expensive to have two parallel universes developing more or less the same product, albeit one that's targeted for SAP applications data and one that's targeted for the rest of the world in addition to SAP. There's got to be some synergy at some point. Otherwise, they're going to be at a disadvantage in the marketplace cost-wise and feature function-wise.
Aaron, let me get your reaction to this statement from a book about SAP MDM. Here's the quote. "Don't try to bring too much complexity into MDM. You're not trying to recreate the SAP ERP logic and processes for managing local attributes in NetWeaver MDM." End of quote.
Well, this is where it gets confusing for SAP watchers. You know, SAP has been busy building its own MDM for many years now. You know, version 2, version 4, version 5, but now we're at version 7. So that's good. They've been focused on the data side. So they have an infrastructure group that's building master data, just like Oracle has one, IBM has one, and then the best of breed vendors are building out MDM hubs as well. Well, at the same time, though, within SAP, there is an application development group that's building the application functionality for, you know, supply chain, retail, et cetera. And those application development people are also busy building a repository, call it business services or business objects or business components repository, where they are sharing common SOA-type services among all the applications. And in fact, that becomes sort of like a data hub, but it's more or less a process hub. That is, the business processes are going to be recycled, like identify customer, upgrade customer, retire customer. These are the sort of processes that are standard across applications, and that makes sense to put that code as a NetWeaver component or whatever you want to call it within a business services repository. Well, on the other hand, the data hubs, that is MDM, SAP NetWeaver MDM as it's formerly called, it's been sharing data at that level across applications, and that data is increasingly starting to keep process logic associated with it, such as privacy preference requirements, collision rules when you get different updates from different trusted sources, who is the better trusted source, and so on. And so these data hubs in the world at large of the large enterprises out there are looking to become process hubs themselves. So the data hub efforts of IBM, Oracle, SAP, et cetera, are ultimately tagged to evolve into something called a business process hub. However, in a large application vendor like SAP, it's also coming from the other direction in that the application package side of the company is busy building process hubs. And somehow they need to rationalize these two worlds. And ultimately, when you think about it, owning the data model, owning the master data, and owning the process hubs is the high ground. If you own that, then you basically own the company as a customer. And so clearly SAP, Oracle, and IBM want to dominate at the process hub, and they want to get there through the data hub. And at the same time, though, each of those large companies, including SAP, has this challenge that their application package people are building it from one direction, and their infrastructure people are building it from the other direction. And they haven't necessarily rationalized. I mean, it's easy to put together a PowerPoint chart that says, we shall bring it together, we shall fuse these together in the fusion sense of the term, et cetera. But it's a lot more to actually bring it together. And so SAP, IBM, Oracle, they have their hands full trying to rationalize, that is, all the software vendors, the capabilities that they've acquired, as well as trying to rationalize the application package notion of mastering data and processes, and then the infrastructure notion of mastering data and processes. So this is where the chief architects and the chief technology officers of these mega vendors get migraine headaches. This is a lot. This is a lot to chew off what they're up to.
So, Aaron, given everything you've told us today, what do you see as SAP's biggest challenge in moving from siloed application architectures into SOA-based architectures like NetWeaver?
SAP's biggest challenge, moving from siloed application architecture into SOA, i.e. NetWeaver. Well, SAP users have learned there's no such thing as a semi-automated or easy migration from one generation of SAP capabilities into the next. NetWeaver is supposed to provide that long-term. That is, once you've bought into NetWeaver and started coding your wrappers, your objects, your service components, et cetera, in NetWeaver, then that means that hopefully going forward you won't have that sort of migration again. However, already the CRM 7.1 platform that was announced in New York a couple weeks ago by SAP has some nuances that are causing people some grief. Large enterprises some grief as they look at, you know, well, is this really new functionality or is it simply repackaged functionality? And so a challenge for any SAP user is migrating from one generation of SAP to the next. And the same, there's a parallel challenge that is involved when you move from your siloed architectures to an SOA NetWeaver architecture, and that you're going to be taking some of your best people or paying some systems integrators or consultants to do it for you to embrace this new SOA model and to add wrappers to all your customized SAP code. That is, ideally, most organizations have learned that they're shooting themselves in the foot if they customize too much the SAP applications or any applications for that matter. But the reality is they do have to be customized somewhat. And in order to move all that into the NetWeaver SOA world, you have to write wrapper code to present them as services. And so that's the challenge, is where do you get these people to do that? Because NetWeaver talent is not that widely available, and it is expensive. And if you took your best people off other things to do that, there you go. You're hurting yourself in another way. So SAP is a huge strategic investment for its its customers, clearly. You know, they're betting on SAP to provide the best technologies and the best roadmaps. And I think SAP has done fundamentally a great job in doing all that. The challenge is getting from one generation to the next generation, and that's typically a multi-year effort for these companies.
But you envision SAP and its user base continuing to meet this challenge of moving from one generation to the next, obviously, right?
Yeah. SAP is a great engineering company. They may be relatively slow compared to other companies on the surface because they don't over-market relative to, let's say, some of the other software companies. They don't over-pitch and under-deliver. You know, they're very pragmatic and conservative about what they will tell us. And so we have to adjust the volume on SAP, turn it up, you know, to make it to make us understand that they are being pragmatic as opposed to overly optimistic like some of the other vendors. And at the same time, though, you know, we can't count on SAP to do everything for us. That's impractical. So I know that, for example, we have in London coming up our MDM Summit Europe 2009, end of April, several hundred companies getting together in London. This is our fourth annual one, and this time we've got a ton of SAP customers speaking. But what's interesting is the majority of the SAP customers, and these are companies like Philips, Syngenta, Nestle's, British Petroleum, Azeba, Very Brown, ABB, you know, very large companies. Some of them are the early adopters of 7.1, SAP MDM 7.1. Well, it was interesting in reading their presentation abstracts because a good amount of what they're talking about is fairly advanced MDM capabilities, things that are not in SAP MDM that these companies are building themselves to better leverage multi-instance of MDM in a global environment. Note that these are very large companies. These are global companies, and so they've got certain issues that a lot of other SAP customers have, but SAP hasn't delivered solutions to yet. And so they have they've gone the extra route and created such capabilities that might be a roadmap for SAP to then take back in-house and provide for the other customers. So it's going to be interesting to see, because historically, a lot of people will throw stones at SAP users and say, oh, they're conservative, you know, they're the old crowd, and they don't have the latest, greatest technology. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, SAP MDM is fairly advanced stuff. You know, they're just maybe not as loud in marketing it as perhaps some of the startup vendors because they just don't do that. On the other hand, when you look at some of the largest companies on this planet, using SAP for MDM, clearly, you know, they're pushing the boundaries. And they're doing certain things that other companies would like to do, but SAP hasn't caught up with yet. So it's very interesting to watch these large companies provide their roadmap and their strategy, how they're going to pull it all together in the long term using a sophisticated product like SAP MDM. So, yes, SAP is doing a good job. It can't be all things to all people. Look to the early adopters like Philips, like Nestle's, like Ericsson in Sweden, Kraft Foods in the U.S. These are some very, very significant users of SAP MDM that are showing the way to the rest of us as to how this will all evolve on a global, large-scale basis. So that's my view, real quick.
Well, Aaron, I certainly hope I can get out to one of the MDM summits this year and hear these customers doing their presentations.
Yes, it's good stuff. We'd love to have you there. Come out and be our guest.
All right. Well, I hope to take you up on that.
Okay, Peter.
This is Peter Bochner, site editor for SearchSAP.com. We've been talking today to Aaron Zorns, the founder and chief research officer for the MDM Institute. And Aaron, I want to thank you for sharing your insights with us today on SAP MDM, and I hope you'll visit with us again soon. I'm your host, Peter Bochner, and thanks to all for listening.